So being that Hanukkah is less than 3 weeks away, and the Chazal teach us that a person is really supposed to start learning about each Chag, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, 30 days before the Yontif, we are well within the parameters of starting to talk about Hanukkah already. Lahavdil, make a huge separation. If you go into any of the stores, they're definitely celebrating their holidays, and they're already trying to get people into the spirit, lahavdil. So for dvarim that are not shabbat kedusha, people can try to get a jump on it. Well, how much more so we can. So what I'd like to do is ask 8 questions about Hanukkah, and then, in typical Jewish fashion, try to give one answer that answers all 8 questions. None of these questions are my own. The answer is not my own, but it's famous stuff. But it may be helping a little bit of putting it together. Some of it is my own. So the Gemara, always the portal into understanding every Yontif is to look at the Gemara. And what we're fortunate about the Gemara, Maseches Shabbos, and Daf Chaf Aleph on the base, is the famous Gemara. The Gemara asks, "My Chanukah? What is Chanukah?" I mean, could you find a better question than that? You don't find the Gemara says, "My Purim." You don't find the Gemara says, "My Pesach," "My Lag BaOmer." But the Gemara does say, "My Chanukah." Just as an anecdote, and then we'll really start the learning. When I was probably in 9th grade in yeshiva, in the high school, in Tel's Yeshiva in Wycliffe, Ohio, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Gifter, came to do a small little speech, a shmooze to the Bachram. So before he started, he looked around and he says, "Tell me, young man, how many of you have already begun to study the Gemaras related to the Yontif of Chanukah?" It's like 120 guys in the room, maybe. One little meek 8th grader raises his hand. "That's it? Just one? I don't understand. How can one experience a holiday, a Yontif, without learning the Gemaras about it? Is that not the way to learn it? I can't." He was so disappointed. How could you be so close to Hanukkah and not have to learn the Gemaras about Hanukkah? What kind of Yontif is that? So anyway, so at least we're helping Rav Gifter and his perspective out. So the Gemara asks, "My Hanukkah?" Rashi says, the question isn't what's Hanukkah. We know what Hanukkah is. Just like we know what Purim is, and we know what Pesach is, and we know what Rosh Hashanah is, etc., etc. Gemara's question is, "My Hanukkah is a nes kiva'ua." What was the miracle that was the catalyst for the Chachamim to add another holiday onto the Jewish calendar? Which miracle? So the Gemara said, etc., etc. The Gemara says, I'll skip a little bit of it. When the Greeks entered into the sanctuary, Timu kol hashmanim, they defiled all the oil shabahechal that were in the sanctuary. And when the Chashmonai, a house of the Chashmonaim, the Jewish people, they overpowered the Greeks, v'nitzchum, and they were victorious, at least temporarily. They searched, and all they found was one tiny beaker of oil that was lying there intact, sealed, uncontaminated. All that remained was enough to light for one. And a miracle happened and it burnt for 8 days. L'shana acheres, the next year, a different year, kiva'um, they established, v'asom, yamim tovim, b'hal v'aydah, they made it yamim tovim with halal and haydah. So what's bothering the Gemara, according to Rashi, is that there's 2 major miracles that happened in the Hanukkah story. The miracle of the oil, enough to burn for 1 day, burns for 8, and this incredible military victory of these rabbis, beating Rambos. That's literally what it was. Guys with little Volkswagen Beetles defeating tanks. It was not simple. So which miracle ultimately was the catalyst for the institution of the holiday? Not the victory. The Gemara doesn't mention one word about the victory, really. The victory was, the miracle that was the catalyst was the fact that there was a little bit of oil and it burned for 8 days. And we have to understand why. Why is that more important? Why was that the straw that broke the camel's back that said, you know, we have to make a Yontif? That's question number one. Question number two is that if you look at the flip side, when we say Al Hanisim in davening, the whole thing is about the victory, the battle. It doesn't even really mention the miracle of the oil. At the end it says, "V'idliku negros b'chatzos kachecha," and they kindled lights in the courtyard of your sanctuary. But it doesn't say one word about the miracle, which is interesting. The Gemara asks why they instituted it, miracle of the oil. What are we thankful to Hashem for? Which miracle? The miracle of the victory. Sounds like there's some type of lack of congruence here. How does it work exactly? Also, another question that we have to ask ourselves is, historically, from the time the Jewish people entered into Eretz Yisrael until when they were exiled after the second Beis HaMikdash, there were a lot of high moments. There was the incredible moment, for example, when there was the siege with Hadad and Aram, and what happens to the Jewish people? They're about to be decimated and they're about to be annihilated, and what happens? They wake up the next morning and everyone's dead. Hundreds of thousands of people dead in one day. That's a pretty substantial miracle. No one even knows the story. There's no Yontif. We say Tachanun on the day that it happened. Could you imagine? Or the story of Sancheirav, also another great miracle that happened to the Jewish people. No mention. Yet when it comes to the Yontif of Hanukkah, for some reason they institute a holiday. Purim as well. What is it about Hanukkah and Purim that they made it onto the calendar? While so many other amazing miracles, victories, great highs in the Jewish people never made it anywhere. So what's so specific and what's so special about Hanukkah and about Purim that they made it onto the calendar? The third question. The fourth question is, there's clearly a kesher, there's clearly a connection between Purim and between Hanukkah. Well, first of all, they're the two rabbinic holidays, but we say Al-Nisim for both of them. We don't say Al-Nisim for anything else. So there's clearly a connection, there's a kesher between the two of them. What is that kesher? What is the connection? How are they somehow bound to one another? Fifth question. If you look carefully at the history of that period of time, it's not like on the 25th of Kislev, everything was good. As a matter of fact, what ended up happening to Matisyahu? He was murdered. Tens of thousands of Jews subsequently died. The war was far from over. I mean, it lasted for a long, long time. So why did they select the 25th of Kislev as kind of like a day like, oh, this is the day where it's all at? And if you want to select a date where there was a great victory, because there were many great victories, let's have a day of one of the great victories. What's so significant about the 25th of the month of Kislev, which obviously is connected to the fact that that's when the miracle of the oil happened. Actually, the miracle of the oil didn't happen on the 25th. It actually happened on the 26th. But regardless of what, you know, why is it that when there's still so much bloodshed and there's so much war and it's far from over, that that's the day that symbolizes, you know, victory? That's the Yom Tov. Sixth question. If you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Daled Halacha Yubeis, chapter 4, Halacha 12, the Rambam says, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. It's a Mitzvah that's very Chaviv, it's very dear. You don't find this by any other mitzvah. The Rambam doesn't say, Mitzvah Sachilas Afikoman, eating the Afikoman, Mitzvah Chaviva Ad Ma'od. It's a very endearing mitzvah. Right? Rambam. Those are delicious, but he doesn't write much about that. By the way, you know why you eat sufganiyot on Hanukkah?
Why?
No, because you eat one the first day and it burns you for 8 days. Says the Rambam, why? But tzarecha adam lehizaher ba, a person has to be very meticulous, kedei lodiyah hanes, to let others know about the miracle, lehaisif b'shevach hakel, to add praise to Hashem, v'hodayah, and gratitude, on lisim shaslon, for the miracles that he did. So mitzvah Chanukah, it's chaviva. Why does the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles get the title of an endearing mitzvah, a mitzvah that's so beloved to us? There's a lot of great mitzvahs. Next question, question number 7. This is a very good question, which most people never thought about it. We say, after we light the Chanukah candles, B'nei Bina, the sons of Bina, Yimei Shmona, for 8 days, Kavu Shir Urenanim, they instituted festivities, praise, and thanks for Hashem. What does Bina mean? So we know that in the Jewish vernacular, in the spoken language, there's different words for wisdom, understanding. There's Chachma, like a Talmud Chacham. A Chacham is someone that knows the facts. There's Das, where a person has an intimate connection to the knowledge. And then there's Bina. What's Bina? So the Gemara tells us that the word Bina is the same shorish as the word Boneh. Because Bina is you have one fact and you're able to extrapolate and build on that fact. That's Bina. So it seems somehow that B'nai Bina, those people who have this ability to deduce, to understand one piece of information and build upon it, they were the ones that instituted Hanukkah. What does Bina, or deeper understanding, have to do with the Yontif of Hanukkah? Never saw this question until this year. So every year you learn something new. And then finally, it would be impossible to ask questions on Hanukkah without asking the question of the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef asked the most famous question, and I love doing this to random Jewish people who didn't have the benefit of maybe so much Jewish education. I asked them a simple question, and none of them could answer it. I don't love doing this because they're speeches. I love doing this because it shows them that they could still continue learning even when they're older, right? I always tell a person, why is Hanukkah? How long was the miracle of Hanukkah? And everyone says 8 days. It's not true. Because if there was enough oil to last for one day, that wasn't a miracle. So how many days was the miracle of Hanukkah? 7. So why is Hanukkah 8 days? Hanukkah should only be 7 days. I remember I one time asked this question to my Hebrew high students. And no one knew the answer. I said, okay, now here's your assignment. Go home and ask your parents. Go home and ask your parents. Start a conversation. Maybe they know the answer. Maybe they don't. Share some of the answers that we'll talk about. So that's the 8th question. 8 questions for 8 nights of Hanukkah. Why is it that Hanukkah is 7 days? 8 days, Hanukkah should really just be 7 days. So to understand this, perhaps the portal into understanding this entire piece is the famous words of the Ramban. The single most famous piece of the Ramban on Chumash, by far, is the Ramban in Parshas Bo. The Ramban in Parshas Bo talks about miracles. To give a good introduction to this Ramban, I'd like to share something that Rav Dessler writes in his Sefer. Imagine for a moment that you are driving past East Brunswick High School towards this area. Right when you pass East Brunswick High School, what's on your right side?
A cemetery.
And you walk by it. You're one of those kids who lives on one of those first streets, timber or whatever it is. You got to walk home every day. And you walk by one day and you kind of always like look at the cemetery out of the corner of your eye. Which, by the way, there is a Jewish cemetery further down there. And you walk by and something strange catches your eye. It looks like there's tufts of hair growing out of the ground. You pretend you didn't see it. You continue walking. But next day, that it's quite discernible. There is hair growing out of the ground, and you quickly speed up and pretend you didn't see it. You are quite shaken when you come home. Your parents want to know what happened. You say nothing whatsoever. It was a bad mark on a science test. It was that substitute that I had today. And, but the problem is the next day you walk by and it's not just a tuft of hair. It's the top of the guy's forehead. And the next day, it's his eyebrows. And slowly but surely, somebody is growing out of the ground. And at that point, you no longer could keep it to yourself, so you pull out your cell phone and you take a picture, and within 5 minutes, it is viral. And New Jersey, whatever, already has a helicopter on top of there taking pictures of the crowds that are gathering there. Biggest miracle, craziest thing ever. And it's not just in the Inquirer. It's real news, not fake news. It's in CNN. Oh, that's fake news. It's Fox News. That's fake news also. Anyways, I'm scared if I say that I'm going to get kicked out and lose my opportunity to be a journalist. But anyways, however you learn, whichever of those two is fake or real, everyone in the world is covering this. Biggest miracle ever, right? You agree with me that's a miracle? 100% miracle? Tchias HaMesim. You take something, you put it in the ground, and it regenerates. Can I ask you a question? I'm going to share with you exactly the same miracle, and you tell me if CNN will cover it. You see, I had a little seed, a dead seed from my avocado. Dead. It looks like a piece of wood. And I put it into a cup, and I put it into the ground. And slowly but surely, that dead seed began to grow. And first it was this little green thing sticking out. And then the green thing got out further. And before I knew it, my avocado tree was starting to grow. So I just put it in Tony's fig tree enclosure so it should stay nice and warm. Is that a miracle?
No, it's not. It's a natural thing to grow from.
Says the Ramban. Perfect. That's what I wanted you to say. Says the Ramban. Min ha-nisim ha-gadolim ha-meforsamim. When a person sees a miracle, that's great. That's meforsam. What does that mean? Everyone agrees it's a miracle. Ada moda benisim ha-nistarim. It helps a person admit and thank Hashem for the hidden miracles. That means to say like this, in God's playbook, it is no more difficult to make an avocado seed regenerate a new avocado tree than it is to have a person decompose, regerminate, and grow. To us, one of them is the biggest freak show, because we've never seen it before. Correct? And the other one is nature, and if it doesn't grow, it's a freak show. Correct? But Be'etzem, in essence, they're exactly the same thing. The problem is, we walk around with blindfolded. Why? We don't see anything. We don't see anything. We see miracles in front of us. The miracles that God performs for us all the time. But they're not miracles. What do you mean? That's normal. That's nature. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Every once in a while, He brings a miracle. That is undeniable. Impossible in any way, shape, or form to say that it's natural. It's happenstance. It just happened.
Growing hair from the ground.
Growing hair from the ground. Now, right, if Hashem would do that, there must be a God, right? So says the Ramban, why does Hashem do all these miracles? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu make these incredible miracles for us? Because every once in a while, we need a wake-up call. You just saw this amazing miracle. How about the miracles that happen every single day? When do people think about their toes? When they have an ingrown toenail. They never think about their toes if they don't have an ingrown toenail. You know what a miracle our toes are? Do you know how well balanced they are? Do you know that everything that we have is because of our whole balance and we're able to walk is because of the incredible physics of our foot, particularly our toes? Our teeth. When do we ever think about teeth if we're not a dentist? When they hurt us. But when they function perfectly and they chew up our food to just the right consistency that we could swallow it effortlessly and our body can digest it at just the right point that is not too much mush so it retains its nutrition but is enough that our body can digest it, we don't see that as a miracle. It's only when things are different that we see them as a miracle. Says the Ramban that when Hashem makes a fireworks display like Kriyas Yamsuf, like the 10 plagues, all of a sudden we agree life is a miracle. Hashem is behind every single thing in our entire lives. Says the Ramban, he continues, Shehem Yesod HaTorah Kula. The foundation of the Torah is realizing God's miracles. She'ein La'adam Chelek B'Torahs Moshe Rabbeinu. A person does not have a portion in the Torah of Moshe. Ad She'namin B'chol Devarenu Mikrenu. Until a person believes that everything and every happening, She'kulam Nisim, they're all directly from Hashem. Ein bahem teva. There is no such thing as nature. Umin hago shel olam bein barabim bein biyachid. Regardless of whether it's an international event occurrence or just something that happens to one person, every single thing is directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Ramban says. He says earlier on in this piece, leading into this, that you know, when a person does a mitzvah, and they do the mitzvah because Hashem told them to, and it's an insignificant mitzvah. I'll give you an example. They tie their left shoe before their right shoe. So Shulchan Aruch says you should do that. How insignificant is that? What you're doing is you're saying the simple, most insignificant thing, like having shoes that are fit well and bound well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in that as well. Nothing in this world is here without Hashem. So even the simplest and most insignificant mitzvah has tremendous, tremendous power to it. So writes the Ramban. And this is one of the most important ideas or concepts in Jewish life. We need to take our daily existence, look at it with perplexion. It's like a book that someone wrote who I know called The Art of Amazement. We need to train ourselves to be amazed. We need to train ourselves to be in wonder, to be in awe. Because then we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every blade of grass, in every leaf on the tree, in every fluffy cloud, in every butterfly. It's all Hashem. That's the purpose of our existence. The more we acknowledge that Hashem is in this world, the more this world becomes Hashem's. So the Alter from Kelm says that this actually answers the eighth question. We'll start with the last question first. He says that the Beis Yosef asked the question, why was Hanukkah for 8 days? Hanukkah should only be for 7 because one of the days was not a miracle because there was enough oil for one day and it lasted for 8 days, so the miracle is only 7 days. Says the Alter von Kelm, that Lashana, the next year, when they looked back in their rear view mirror at the previous year, they realized that lighting the menorah wasn't just a miracle for 7 days. That was a supernatural miracle. But even the fact that oil burned, that in itself was a miracle. Teva, nature, was a miracle. And we know that Teva is the gematria of the word Elohim. God, because it's God's fingerprints. It's the fingerprints of divinity. They turned back and they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we understand that it's not just the supernatural that's a miracle, but like the words of the Ramban, when we see these wondrous things, we realize that everything is a miracle. And they made the Yontif for 8 days. And it's how appropriate is it that in Judaism, the number 7 always represents nature. We've said this many times, right? You are the point in the middle, and there's 6 directions around you. That's 7. There are 7 days in the week, the natural period of time, and that's not logical, by the way. Why are there 7 days in the week? It's nothing to do with science. 30 days in a month does. 354, 365 days in a year, that does. But 7-day week, who made that up besides the Kadosh Baruch Hu, obviously? But 7 represents nature. What else? The 7 colors in the spectrum, 7 keys on your scale in music. 7 represents Teva, represents nature. And then 8 always represents Lemala Minateva, above. A bris is 8. Human beings are natural. Our bris shows that we're supernatural. That's why in Hebrew, the word for Sheva is 7. What else does the word Sheva mean? If you just take the word Sheva and you take the dot and move it to the side, it's the same as the word Savea. What does Savea mean? Full. What does full mean? You hit, that's the boundaries. Natural is the boundary. What? 8? Shmoneh. What else is like the word Shmoneh? Shamein. You're going over the boundaries. You're a little overweight. That's Shamein. That's Shemen is fattening. Correct? Like Shmoneh. That helps a person go beyond the boundary. Morale writes this. But bottom line is, that is what the Nativ of Hanukkah was. That the next year, in the rearview mirror, they see that it wasn't just the 7 days of the supernatural, but even day number 8, that was Chashev as well. That was special as well. And they made a Yontif for that day as well. Now we understand why it was this tremendous conflict during the Hanukkah story between Yavan, the Greeks, and the Jews, the Hashmonaim, the Maccabim. Why? What is Greece besides a musical? What is Greece? Greece is, it's only about nature. Take God and extract Him. Like the Yavan made the Jewish people write, they said, Kisvu lachem, write al keren hashar, on the horn of an ox, ein lachem chelak b'elokei Yisrael. Human beings, nature, have no part in God, in the world of God. It's okay, there's a God, but it has nothing to do with us. This is our world, and that's it. By the way, what does it mean? Why did they tell them to write on the horn of an ox that you have no part or parcel in the God? So what's the horn of an ox? So one of the explanations is that in those days they didn't have baby bottles. So what did they do? They took a horn of an ox. They cleaned it out well. They had a small opening at the end, and the baby would eat from that. The Greeks wanted us writing on our babies' bottles that Hashem has no part in this world. Yeah, we know, what does the Gemara say? What's the first thing you teach your child? Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Marasha kiras Yaakov. The Torah, that's what it's about. What's the Torah? The Torah is that medium that helps a person elevate the physical world into that which is spiritual. That's why the Torah was there before the physical world was created. It had to be there before. So this is the conflict between Yavan and Yisrael, the Jews and the Greeks. It's just about the physical versus the spiritual. Seeing Hashem in nature, understanding that the word Teva is also like the word matbea. What's a matbea? A coin. Why is a coin called a coin? Because it's tavua. There's an imprint in it. That's what a coin is. Teva, nature, also has an imprint. Whose imprint? Fingerprints of divinity. That's the imprint in Teva. So that was Yavan. That's the conflict. And that's the victory. The victory is that the philosophy of Greece didn't take over the Jewish philosophy. On the contrary, Klal Yisrael, we survive. Mi kamocha ba'elim Hashem. Who amongst us is strong? Our strength comes from Hashem. That's Maccabi. It doesn't come from the physical world. Now, to understand, to see the world around us, and see Hashem in the world, to see Hashem in every drop of rain, in every blade of grass, that's not a simple thing. What does that take? You have to see something, and you have to dig a little bit deeper. You need to build on your first understanding. Our first understanding is that there's nature, and then there's Hashem. But says the Ramban, a purpose of our life is to see Hashem in the nature. That's Bina. What's Bina? Bina is Mevin Davar Mitoch Davar. The word Bina means you see something, But you understand something deeper about that. You're able to build on the simplistic foundation that you have and discover something deeper. Memela Chazal say, B'nei Bina, the sons of those that were able to say, see further. Yemei Shmona, they saw that eight. What's eight? Spiritual, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavu Shiru Nanim. They were the people that established Hanukkah. They were the ones that were able to show us that we're not natural, that we're supernatural, because even in nature is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in and of itself. And by the way, this Ramban that we said before, the Ramban says that a person has to understand, I'll read you his words, Lefichach Amru, Hevezar B'mitzvah Kalu Kebachamura. Therefore they cautioned us that a person should be careful with even the most insignificant mitzvah, shekulon chamudos chavivos me'od. Because every mitzvah is dear. What is the Ramban saying? That when a person sees that performing a mitzvah is acknowledging that Hashem is in this world, and Hashem is everywhere, that's extremely endearing. That's chaviv. That's why the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chanukah that mitzvah Chanukah chaviva me'od. It's very dear. Because the whole purpose of establishing the mitzvah of lighting Ner Chanukah is so that we see the candle, we see the oil, and we don't have a miracle in our Chanukiah, in our menorah at home. But we see that even the fact that the oil is lighting, that in itself is a miracle. That's chaviv, that's dear, because that's the purpose of existence. Seeing Hashem beyond the superficial. Seeing that Hashem is everywhere and that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. Therefore, what was the catalyst? What was the switch that toggled the Yontif of Chanukah? It wasn't the victory. Because a victory could be spun anyway. There have been major defeats in history. Napoleon at Waterloo, D-Day, the Russo-Japanese War. There have been many upsets. And there have been times in history when the few defeated the many. And the weak defeated the strong. That is not such a major thing. It is major. But a person could look at it and say, wow, kochi ve'otzem yadi asa li esachai lezeh. It was my strength. It was my prowess. But like the pasuk says, v'zacharta, you should remember, ki Hashem, hu anosein l'chachayel. Yes, maybe you had strength, you had might, but where did that come from? Makabi. Mi kamocha ba'elim. Who is strong? Where does that come from? Hashem. It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So memela, the Chachamim were looking back at the whole Yontif of Chanukah in its entirety. They said, the victory alone would not have been enough for us to make a Yontif. Look, there have been many miracles. Aram, Ashur, these nations are all gone. Sancheirv comes, all kinds of major victories. Those alone weren't standalone Yom Tov because you don't see the greatness of Hashem necessarily in them. It was the Yontif of Chanukah. What Hashem did was He gave us two miracles. He gave us a natural miracle, or what could be perceived as a natural miracle, a defeat of a large army, and He gave us something that was undeniably supernatural. And that was the miracle of the Shemen. And He said, look at the Shemen, look at the oil, look at this miracle, and realize that the same way that this miracle is from Me, attribute the victory to Me as well. So what was it that got the Jewish people this Yontif of Chanukah? It was the supernatural miracle of the oil. Yet when we daven and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't thank Him for that nace. I mean, we do. But how much did that do for us already? What that did was, it showed us that the victory was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore we say, Modim Hashem, we're grateful. Ala Nisim Vala Porkam, for the miracles, etc., etc. B'mei Matisyo, there was this huge army. We were a small group of people. And you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabim Biyad Miyatim, the many in the hands of the few. And then we say, Tmeim biyat tahorim, the impure, in the hands of the pure. Rishayim biyat tzadikim, the wicked in the hands of the righteous. Vezeinim biyat oskei Torah secha, and those that sin intentionally in the hands of those people whose lives are totally involved in Torah. So basically, we realized that great miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was from Hashem. And that's Al Nisim. That's Modim. That's what we're thanking Hashem for.
That nace.
Nigla.
Nigla, right?
Nigla.
Exactly. We'll contrast that with Purim, where it's all...
Well, we're going to talk about that. Great, you're on the right track. Also, the Maral points out, and others, this Maral, that the word nace in Hebrew means a miracle. Yet each of us says the word nace multiple times every single day, and it does not mean miracle. I don't know what I'm talking about. And Shmaina Esrei. Teka b'shofar gadol l'cherusein, Hashem, blow a large shofar for our freedom. V'sa neis l'kabetz kalu yosenu. Near neis doesn't mean a miracle. It means a banner. V'sa neis, and raise up a banner, l'kabetz kalu yosenu, to gather in our exiles. There's a strong connection between the word banner and the word miracle. Because you know what the word, you know what a miracle is? It's Hashem picking up a banner. Hey, I'm still here. It's the Nisim HaGadolim, the great miracles, that when we see them, we see the Nisim, we see the Nisim HaNistarim, the hidden miracles. So the word Nes means banner, and it means miracle, because every miracle is a banner. So Hashem is saying, hey, I'm still here. I still exist. That's a Nes. That's a miracle. That's why the Chachamim came along, and they instituted the Yontif of Chanukah. And they did not institute so many other things. Because what the Yontif of Chanukah is supposed to do, it's supposed to fill a person with Halel, Vehoda'ah, praise and gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the Nisim that He did, all the miracles. Because when Hashem goes in the Beis HaMikdash and He performs a supernatural miracle, it verifies the miracle of the victory, and that toggles the switch that verifies all the other miracles and all the other victories which could be cloaked in the veil of nature. All of a sudden those become as well miracles. They become HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chanukah was that Yontif that brought out all the other events in history and displayed to us exactly that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was behind everything.
And every Nitzachon, even 6-day war, so there was not a miracle that, but it was a miracle.
100, you got it, that's the point. There were two types of people that walked out of the 6-day war. There were those people that walked out saying Gomel, thanking Hashem and saying Yesh Elokim, there's no other way to do it. And there were those people that said, "Ez zitzavai yishlanu."
In both of them, they're right.
They are. I agree. They
in both of them.
It's right. True, but if you just have this amazing tzava, I don't know if that's a reason to have a yontif. Wonderful. So we trained our soldiers. Great. We have good teachers, etc., etc. But when does it become a yontif? When you say it was Hashem that helped us out. You guys saw the video that's circulating from yesterday, right? There was a rocket that was shot that hit a bus.
Yeah.
30 seconds after the last chayal, a bus full of chayalim.
Only one that got injured.
Was the Arab driver.
Right.
The Arab driver. They 30 seconds after these guys set off, he drove off. Direct hit.
Direct hit.
Look at the bus. It's a shell. And they, by the way, they I just saw the video, great video of all those soldiers on the bus that took them later singing Al HaNisim. Thanking Hashem for the miracle. And what was the first thing that happened when the bus, when they got to the Arab bus driver? He says, Elokim Shelcha Hu Esem. Your God, He knows what He's doing. He got all His guys off. And a second later, I got hit. And the guy should have a refuah shleima. He was helping soldiers out. And He dropped them off at the right time. We have to pray for him as well. But that's Al HaNisim. It's like Hashem is just not, it's undeniably You. That's the miracle. That's the, what Chanukah is supposed to foster inside a person.
The point is that even the Nitzachon of Sheshet HaYamim, we don't make every time a Chagigah from that and looking on that one issue, like as you described this one, in making, well, that's a mess.
Right, but that's what Chanukah is. Chanukah is Kolel. It, by having this thing which is undeniably supernatural, it's supposed to bring us to think and give gratitude for all the other amazing Nisim that we had. The victory in the story of Chanukah, the victories that happened earlier in history, the defeat of the nations who just literally died in front of us, that Yontif brings everything out. It brings everything out. And like Phil was saying before, that's Purim too. See, this is how it works. God makes a miracle with Shemen. Undeniable miracle. It burns and it burns and it burns and it burns. Now, what does that do? That toggles the switch for us to be grateful for the victory and attribute it to Hashem. And then Hashem challenges us a little bit further. And He makes a miracle which is totally cloaked. Like Megillas Esther, we said this. What does Megillas Esther mean? The Chronicles of Esther, but what does it mean? Legalois es ha-hester. The reveal that which is hidden. Hashem makes the most incredible miracle. But all of it is cloaked. It's veiled behind the you know, behind nature. And we need to find Hashem. Hashem's name is not in the Megillah. You need to find God. That's the challenge. I gave you a Chanukah. I gave you an open miracle. I gave you the ability to acknowledge that the victories were all from Me. And now I'm going to give you a Yontif that could just be a Broadway show about a young Jewish woman who saves her people and brings them back to their homeland.
Or you could say it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that every single chapter starts with the word HaMelech. It doesn't, but every section starts with the word HaMelech. Who is the king? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Purim. So Purim challenges us to take it even further. There isn't even any major victories. Okay, there's a bunch of amazing, amazing sequence of events. And the question is, can you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Can that make you give you simcha? Can that make a person happy? So we think that's the Yantif of Chanukah. We need to prepare ourselves. We have to train ourselves that before Chanukah comes, we need to think about these things. So when we light our Chanukah candle and we say, Haneros halalu anu madlikim, these candles that we're lighting, al hanisim, they're for the miracles, the al niflos, they're for the wonders, that we had a little bit of oil and it burnt for 8 days. V'yala chuos, and for all the salvations that God did for us. V'yala milchavos, and for all the battles that we won. Shalthisa lavosenu, that God did to us. So it's supposed to bring us a lot further than just lighting that simple Chanukah candle and saying Shachiyanu and Hashem Kedishanu and Tzatzal Adik Neshul Chanukah. Those are great. We're supposed to look into those candles. By the way, you should know the Chassidus Shesvarim bring down, and it's such a nice thing that you should stay by your candles for a half an hour. Pull up a chair. Look into the flames. There's some beautiful tefillos that you could say by when you sit by your Chanukah. Think. Reflect.
Sing.
Huh?
Sing
too. Yeah, that's a... Can you sing?
I was supposed to do all the dishes and all the housework while the candles are lit.
That's why it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to do malacha for the first half hour that the Chanukah candles are burning. Straight up halacha. Women are not allowed to do malacha.
Right, I thought the women can't.
Yeah,
the man is supposed to.
We have to eat after that we light the candles, so don't have to do malacha, we eat.
Yeah, you eat your latkes and your whatever else you eat, you know.
After that,
your sufganiyot, etc., etc. I'm going to Israel with Shem next week. I'm thinking of bringing back some sufganiyot. I just know that there's going to be a big, huge stain on the bottom of my suitcase from one. You're just bringing back one of them. It's going to go through the paper, through the plastic. You know, the dog at the airport is going to come over and be like, start licking my suitcase, you know. I think I'm not going to know what's in that thing. But that's the point. The point is to look into the Neres of Chanukah and to think and to reflect about the incredible Nisan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, the way we finish off Modim every day. The miracles that Hashem does. And the wonders and the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. That's all the same. And that's extremely endearing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Hashem, we should have an amazing, enlightening, uplifting Chanukah. We should be able to see the miracles that Hashem does and constantly be able to thank Him for being part of our lives. Thank you for listening. Maariv in 2 minutes. Amen.